Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
So we have to have purpose before, and then next week I'm going to talk about today is going to be the cause, next week I'll talk about the call, and then next week I'll talk about the community and the commission, and we'll just kind of roll with that. I don't know why they're all C's, but that's what they were, so that's the way we think. But anyway, Father, bless your word today. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So why do we go halfway around the world? You know, what about the hurting in our backyard? You ever heard that? Why are you going to Africa when there's hurting here? We recognize there's hurting here. We minister to the hurting here. We love the hurting here. But we can't get over the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Say, all the nations. So his commission is our mission. So we go therefore and we make disciples of all the nations. Thus, our mission goes beyond our doorstep. So we were created for eternity, and we have to think eternal and think for higher purposes. John 10:10, he says, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." And humanity was created for the kingdom of God. So we have to go back to the beginning. Why were we created? We were created for the kingdom of God. And when we tap into that purpose, we get to go back to why we were created. From Adam to the cross, we had a problem because sin entered the world and creation was altered from its original purpose. But from the cross forward, Jesus came to free the world from the bondage of sin so that we could get back to our created purpose. And that's we were created for the kingdom. And so we get to loose that based on the cross, based on the authority and power that he gave us on the cross when he said, "All power and authority has been given unto me." Jesus took the keys of sin, hell, and death away from the devil. After he was crucified, after he died, after he rose, he went down and he took that power and authority and he rose. And Father God gave him the name above every name that is named on heaven and earth. Somebody say amen. And based on that power of the cross, we go and we walk in that authority. So we're bringing back order to the way of God's original design. We're taking twisted humanity and untwisting it. We're taking the deformed and we're bringing the reformed. We're bringing that reformation to something that God called out. And God will bring it all to an end. All sin, sickness, the devil, all of hell, it will have an ending point. But until then, we are carriers of the kingdom. And we get to take that cause, and every time we take that cause into the world, we're tapping into the purpose on why we were created. We get to pursue his commission, and that's a privilege. Amen? Now, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour." So the devil tries to knock us off our game. And as I was preparing this, I threw in Acts 4 this morning because that was one of the things I heard real early. And God was reminding me in Acts 4 how, you know, that Peter and John were, they were thrown in jail and some stuff happened and they beat them. And the people had saw that in Acts 4:13, it says, "And seeing a man who had been healed standing with him, they could say nothing about it. But they commanded them to go aside to the council." And they said, you know, "A notable miracle has been done by them. It's evident. All who dwell in Jerusalem, they cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further amongst the people, let us severely threaten them from now on that they speak no more, no man in this name." So basically they said, "We can't deny that this miracle happened, but let's shut them up." Yeah. Are you here? Devil can't deny miracles happen, but he can try to shut you up. So he can't deny it. I mean, you can say, "I don't believe," but like when someone gets totally healed, you know, one of my favorites, we went into Wimpy's and we're eating, but then before we left, Dries said, "Oh, somebody wants healing. One lady wants healing." She gets healed. A line of seven people, all seven get healed before we get done with lunch. I mean, that's awesome. There's, you know, here's your tip, you know, and they're all stoked and happy, and God's just healing and publicly wherever we're going because you can't deny a miracle. When someone gets a miracle and all the friends of that waitress know she's been in pain and now she's pain-free, saying, "You get over here and you get over here because you need healing." And then they're all lining up going, "I want some of that." Yeah. And so you can't deny the power of God. but the devil can try to stop us from declaring it and sharing it. And that's what the Great Commission's all about, is we get to bring the good news to people. So he'll try to shut you down from your game. He'll try to silence you so that you don't speak. Fear will silence people. Some people have beliefs in this nation and they're afraid to share them because of the persecution they'll get. Come on, we got students in the universities that are afraid to share their beliefs because they'll get persecuted. My own son got basically dogged by a professor because he was liberal. My son isn't. And he tried to say some things and he basically was had a reverse prejudice situation happen to him. And he basically had to go take a whole nother semester. Thank you. Let's put a price tag on that one. But are you here? That was expensive. But he stood for what he believed, and I just applauded him and said, you know, if that's what you have to do, you do what you have to do. But nobody should get us to back down and to be silent. And so these guys wouldn't. So when they told him not to speak, this is what the response was. And in Acts 4, 18, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God you judge, that's what their response was. For we cannot speak, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. When we get to a point that we understand the Great Commission where we can't shut up and we can't be silent, we've connected to where they were. We can't be silent. And then they prayed later in Acts 4, 29, it says, grant to your servants with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done. And then it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. When we take up his cause and when you step out, God's anointing will meet you there. Number one, God anoints those who make his commission their mission. God anoints those who make his commission their mission. We need to go there, for we go in his authority, we go in his anointing, and he anoints us. He gives us authority. He gives us blessing. He empowers us to do what he said we are to go and do. Mark 16 lays it out. He said, signs and wonders will follow those who believe. We step out, the miracles follow. Healings follow. And that cause has a face. It's not just a mission, but there's real people's lives. And as you can see from up here, there's real people who were touched. That one of the craziest deliverances that was like crazy. That demon was like sassy. You can't deliver me. I'm like, dude, you watch this. I mean, it took like so many people. It took till like 12:30 at night. I mean, round after round after round. I'm like, are you serious? But the guy's dad was in these occultic churches, and who knows how many times that kid had been in occultic meetings, and he just had the whole problem lined up. But he was totally healed and delivered. And it was so good to see him the next day. And it has a face. It's not just, oh, I don't want to do it. There's a face behind each story. And every time we bring that Great Commission, there's a story behind it. Every time someone's healed, there's a story behind it. But God will anoint us. He'll anoint you for the journey. You say, well, I don't feel so anointed. Hey, God anointed David. He anointed David. He took David. He anointed him with a horn of oil. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And you say, well, David messed up with Bathsheba. Okay, let's pick out the worst thing he did in his life. Peter messed up. How about Peter denied Christ? He said, I don't even know the guy. And he swears. How about Peter messed up? Yeah, let's go to the new covenant we are in. Peter messed up, but God used him to do great things in Jerusalem. Because it didn't take long to figure out he messed up, and he repented, and he went, and he got it right. So instead of going, I messed up, how about you just get it right, repent, and just move forward? How about we get past that and realize your future is blessed, that God has called you with a blessing, and he has commissioned us, and he will empower us. Peter was messed up. David, he repented when he was busted. Some people don't repent, unlike Saul. Saul didn't repent. Bad situation on that side. David, he responded right. So let's learn by that. So David was anointed, God anointed him, and he lived. I love what they wrote in Acts 13:36. David, after he'd served God's will and purpose and counsel for his own generation, he fell asleep. After he had served. Our lives are to serve God's will and counsel and purpose for our life. So we got to get a hold of it and then get in that vein and then follow that. And it looks different for all of us. There's no cookie cutter destiny. Each one of us is unique. And even as my little Hannah, she painted this, and she was saying, I was asking her on this what God was speaking to her, and she said, I painted this art. And I said, what are those? She said, those are the leaves. And I said, so why are they different colors? Because each one is unique and diverse. And this is like the body of Christ, that God is our root and our source, but each one of us is unique and diverse, all of us. But yet we're all together, we make up the body of Christ. And that unity, God commands the unity because we're tapped into the vine, who is Jesus Christ, who is our source. So we have the room to be diverse, and as long as we're tapped into Jesus, he's our common source of strength. Are you with me? So we don't look next door and go, oh, you're pink, you're purple, and I'm manly brown. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. Or you're a ballerina, and you're like, I'm pink, and you're camo. But that doesn't mean you're bad because you're pink or because you're camo. You're uniquely who you are. Are you with me? And so next one, God anointed Jesus. We know that. Jesus was anointed. In Luke 4:18, Jesus opens his ministry. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to preach. He's anointed me to preach. So some people on the team got to preach. They were anointed by God to preach. Lauren Wood's incredible. And she's like, I'm afraid of public speaking. I said, I was afraid of public speaking. But she did so well. I said, you did so well. Because you get anointed to do it. And God loves to anoint you at the thing that was your weakness so you don't take the glory. It's all God. You're not going to get to heaven and go, it was all because I'm so cool and you got to use me because I'm so good. God, didn't I make it easy for you to use me, God? Because it's me. Hey. No. He's like, ah. No, it's moving right along. He anointed Jesus and he anoints us. And so D is God anoints us. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. I did enjoy my Starbucks this morning, and I did get caffeinated because there's none happening in Africa. Hallelujah. Maybe my words are going out a little quick. And E, you know, as we're faithful to make his commission our mission, God anoints us beyond our greatest expectation. I love this. Ephesians 3:20 through 21. Now to him who is able. It's to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think. It's according to his power. He goes beyond our expectations. According to the power that works in us. That's the Holy Spirit in us. To him be the glory in the church, Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. So whenever you take up his cause, the impossible becomes possible. And the next one, as we face obstacles, God is faithful to release more faith daily. It says, now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. We press on. And when you face a little opposition, you just move forward. You know, when something happens, it's like you just keep going. You don't back down. If the devil can make you back down, he'll always make you back down. But when he realizes I'm not going to back down, you need to come up with a better strategy because I'm not going to slow down, stop, or back down. Huh? It's kind of like guys driving on a trip. We miss the gas station, 200 miles. Wait, you'll go there. They won't turn around. Aren't they like that? Come on, ladies. It's like, nope, I don't turn around. There's no turnaround in my driving. It's like 2 miles back. We don't go back. We go forward. It's 2 miles back or 200 miles. We don't go back. It's scriptural. We don't shrink back to perdition. I just empowered them. That guy's good. Ladies are like, no, 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 no. It is wrong. I know. I'm just messing with you. But like spiritually, we don't go back. We don't shrink back. If you're getting pressed on, if opposition was a sign that you're not doing good, then one of my greatest heroes, look at the Apostle Paul. He got all kinds of opposition. And he was, come on, opposition's going to come. But we don't back down in opposition. We keep moving through it in opposition. And as we do, we will live by faith, not by what we see. See, fear's not going to walk you out onto the battlefield and cause victory. Faith is what the substance is that we need to walk onto the battlefield of life. So if you're going through something, you can't let fear will always be there. People say, well, I'm waiting. I just want to get rid of fear. Fear will always be there, but fear's a tutor. Fear teaches me I don't want to fall, so fear's a tutor to keep me on the mark. But the mark is faith. Are you with me? We'll always have fear. There's a resistance, but I walk in faith. I may acknowledge what's going on, but I'm not going to yield to it. I'm going to let faith be bigger than fear. I'm going to say, small devil, big God. I'm going to say, oh, I'm having a little bit of trouble. Well, just watch. I'm in a perfect time for a breakthrough. I mean, like we face things that were like incredible, but we keep believing. We just, you keep marching, you keep going forward, because our God is faithful. So I know I kind of pushed it all together fast, but I just feel like you got the heart of that message, that we go and we make disciples of all nations. So A was God anointed David, and B is that he lived a legacy. C, God anointed Jesus, and D, God anoints us, and E, he anoints us as we're faithful to make his commission our mission. God anoints us beyond our expectation, and F, that we face obstacles, but that God is faithful to release more faith in our daily lives. Would you stand with me today? I believe that God will release more faith if you're standing saying, I'm expecting faith to meet me in my opposition. See, if our expectancy is that because I'm being opposed, then you're saying circumstance is more powerful than God. Then you're saying any circumstance that comes against me, that means circumstance is more powerful than my God. You made a small God right there. But the circumstance, God's not, we need to stand and say, okay, that's what I'm looking at right now, but that doesn't mean God is intimidated one bit. Because he sits in the heavens and he laughs. He's not intimidated. Doesn't mean we stop praying, but it means we tap in and we get faith. And we go in and we say, Papa God, you see what's happening right now, and I'm leaning on you, expecting the faith to walk through this. I'm expecting a breakthrough right now. I'm expecting a shift right now. I'm expecting you to change it. And every time we prayed for a miracle, we're expecting it to shift. We're expecting a change. So it's a good place to be, in a spot where you're dependent on God. That's our whole lives. We come to him as children that are dependent on God to do more than what we could ask or think. And if you say, well, I'm doing fine and God's breaking through, you need to push for more. Because God wants to do more than your expectation. He doesn't want you just to have this chill life where your faith is never tested. He wants you to believe for things that go beyond your comfort zone. No, I'm trying to find, that's my whole life. I'm trying to find a comfort zone. No. We'll always be having faith as a tutor. We want to step to the edge. I want to live on the edge. I'm not talking about living foolish, but I don't ever want to lose that place where I'm expecting God for more, expecting for the beyond, and expecting him to do even more than I could ask or think. That's that Ephesians 3:20 thing. I love it. I was raised at 320 Grace Street, Oceanside, California. That was my address. I was raised on 320 Grace. So I love Ephesians 3:20. It's my life scripture. It's like I was raised on grace, and I'm gonna live my whole life on that same grace. And I can't tell you how many times he just tells us those little subtleties. You know, I woke up at 3. I looked, it was 3:22, but it was probably 3:20 when I woke up. And you know, I mean, God just does all these little things to tell you, you know, his grace, you know. We're in a pinch, and all of a sudden I see 555, and I'm like, grace, God, you're so good. He'll talk to you through so many different things, and I'm not trying to just say those things. The word of God is my anchor, and God's grace is consistent. But if you let him speak to you, if you let him minister to you, let him take you beyond your comfort zone and say, I will, the grace, the favor of God, the hand of God, beyond my expectation, you will do it. I don't care what they say, what you have the last say. So I pray, God, for your grace. Would you just receive right now? I pray, God, that your mighty grace, that each one here, that we just went with a guy who stutters. Oh my goodness, how could he do anything? He's changing the world with us in South Africa, Dries. But when he preaches under the anointing, he doesn't stutter. You know what I mean? It's like, why would God use him to speak? But he uses him to speak all over, and he's planted churches and rock nations, and he's so full of love because he understands the grace of God. And if we connect our weakness with the grace of God, oh my goodness, when we're weak, he's strong. So I pray for a connection. I pray that we would let his commission to speak, that his commission to boldly speak. I pray you'd release that boldness over this body. I pray you'd release boldness in their lives, boldness to proclaim your gospel, boldness to believe for miracles, boldness to believe for the impossible, boldness to believe for new ideas, boldness to step out in new ventures, boldness, release it. Just like Acts 4, release boldness, shake the very ground under their vision and release boldness. God, I thank you. Let the world be changed around them, and let the gospel be declared as we get to take and make that great commission our mission. Now lift a hand high. I bless you as you're on your mission. And as Jesus said, every time we go out these doors, we go into the great mission field called life. I bless you in your mission. I bless you in the schools. I bless you in the neighborhoods. I bless you in the homes. I bless you in the business community. I bless you in the arts community. I bless you in every area, in the recreational. I bless you in every single area that you're called to. I bless that mission. I pray, God, that you keep them on point and let them carry that good news and that gospel everywhere they go. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
Dry and thirsty land, you give up your mercy.